Lord willing, take some prayer requests just after, but tonight I want you to go with me to Isaiah chapter number 49. Isaiah chapter number 49, if you got your Bibles there, and I'm excited to share with you something that the Lord has shared with me over the last couple of days and just been working in my heart. And so Isaiah chapter number 49. Really, what I want to share with you is just something that in my own devotional life that the Lord gave me this week, and really been an encouragement. I trust to be an encouragement to you. Let's look at we'll look at two verses, and we're going to be some places tonight. It's going to end up more of a preaching kind of message, but kind of like a Bible study as well. But just look with me at verse number 1 and 2, if you will, of Isaiah chapter 49. If you're there, say amen. Bible says, "Listen, O isles, unto me. Hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name." Watch verse 2. "And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hidden me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me." Father, in Jesus' name, we need thy help tonight. Holy Spirit of God, if anything good is going to come out of what's said tonight, it'll have to be you say it. So, Father, I pray you'd be with my stammering lips of clay. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, you'd cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. God, fill me with all of you and none of me. I pray that, Lord, you would hide me behind the cross of Christ. Lord, when we're all said and done, we want to be sure to give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. For thou art worthy, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a word in verse number 2 of what we just read. It's that I want to point out tonight. It's that word shadow. Shadow, the Bible says there. The word shadow is found 81 times throughout the Word of God. And this notion or this idea, this imagery, if you will, of shadow is portrayed in several different ways. The Bible talks about life and the days we have here on this earth as just being a shadow. In fact, Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "For who knoweth what is good for man in this life? All the days of his vain life which he spendeth as a shadow." In Psalm 144, verse 4, the Bible says, "Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away." And so we see this word shadow and this idea of shadow being described, life being described as a shadow, the days we have on this earth. But not only that, the Bible speaks, don't miss this, of the difficulty of life also as shadows. In fact, our very days sometimes will be like a shadow, the Bible says, like something's hovering on us. In 102nd Psalm, verse 11, the Bible says, "My days are like a shadow that declineth." In other words, things are getting worse and worse. Shouldn't even got out of bed in the morning. The truth is tonight that all of us have had those seasons of life where things weren't going very well. I believe right now is one of those seasons for many, many people. A lot of people I've talked to in the last few days, there are so many people right now that just feel like they're living under a shadow hanging over them. There's some doom or gloom on them. There are so many folks that feel like they're alone, that feel like they're dealing with loneliness. There's so many that it just seems like they're in a dark place in their life. It seems like that they're abiding under a veil of darkness that's just hovering over them and hovering around them. There's all kinds of sickness and disease in our world. There's all kinds of social and political unrest. There's so much darkness that's sitting down upon this nation. It's evident. Just look around. There is a sadness and a sorrow throughout our world at this very hour. And in many ways, the difficulties of life have never been greater. But I want you to understand, not only does the Bible speak about life as a shadow, and not only does the Bible speak of the difficulties of life as a shadow, but you already know in your Bible that it speaks of death as a shadow. Oh, Job speaks about the shadow of death in Job 16:16. He says, "My face is foul with weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death." In the 38th, Job 38:17, he says, "Have the gates of death been opened unto thee, or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death?" The sweet psalmist speaks about the shadow of death. Oh, you know it in that shepherd psalm, Psalm 23. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." 107th Psalm, verse 10 says, "Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron." In other words, watch this. When it talks about, the Bible talks about this shadow of death, it's speaking about that death is hanging over them, or death is hovering all around them. And when the Bible speaks about the shadow of death, that's what it's talking about. It's as if they can sense and feel that death is at the door. The shadow of death is the fate that follows every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl that's ever been born upon this earth. That shadow of death follows us around. Friend, the day we were born, we begin to die. We live in a sense with a shadow of death surrounding us. It means that we can feel and sense that there's danger and death all around us. When he said, there in Psalm 23, that he's in the shadow, though he says, "I'll fear not, for thou art with me." When he talks about that shadow of death in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," I want you to understand that they would be passing from place to place, and there was this one particular place where they would walk through. They called it the shadow of death. There'd be robbers there. There'd be all kinds of thieves there. There would be much danger there with animals and other things, and that's the picture that's being painted. It's as if death hangs in the balance all around us. He talks about this thing of the shadow of death. We live right now as humans, fallible people, in the realization that at any moment we could be gone. At any moment death could swallow us up. That shadow is hovering over us, and we can feel it and we can sense it, and it makes us fearful. And while there's the shadow of life that we all understand, that here's one day and gone the next, the Bible says our days are as a shadow. And while there's this shadow of all the difficulties of life, whether it be it's a physical difficulty or a financial difficulty, whether it's a difficulty with a relationship, either way, but we all have these shadows of life, and we all have these shadows of death and this that we deal with, or the shadows of the difficulties of life. But thank God, there's another shadow in the Bible that it speaks about. It's none other than the shadow of the hand of Almighty God. I want you to notice with me in verse number 2 again. The Bible says, "And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword." Watch this. Please don't miss this. "In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, made me a polished shaft, in his quiver hath he hid me." Now look with me over just a page, Isaiah 51 verse 16. The Bible says in Isaiah 51 verse number 16, "And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee." Hallelujah. "And I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand." I want to preach for the next few moments on this thought. In the shadow of God's hand. In the shadow of God's hand. Now I want to tell you that while this passage, and you study it out and read it out, pertains to and points to Jesus the Messiah, in the fact that God the Father would shadow him and protect him when he comes to earth to set things in order. Oh, but I want you to understand, you're going to see before it's over, that this shadow of the hand of God is given to every single believer, every one of us as children of God. So there's a double application. God says, matter of fact, in chapter 51 again, if you'll look back with me, in verse number 16, He says, "And I put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion," who's that? Israel, Jerusalem, His people. He says, "Thou art my people." Oh, yes. You and I are His people. And we are in the shadow of God's hand. I want to give you several things tonight about being in the shadow of God's hand. Number one, notice with me, in the shadow of God's hand, there is a direct presence. There is a direct presence. Notice that little phrase again in verse 2. He says, in the shadow of His hand. Do you understand tonight, beloved, that as children of God, not only do we have Him in us, hallelujah, but we also have God over us and around us. Oh yes, in other words, He's always there leading you and guiding you. He's always there walking with you. Whatever it is that you might be going through, you're never out of His shadow. You're never absent from His presence. You're never off of His radar. Oh, remember, child of God, that we be reminded tonight of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, where Jesus said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." Oh, understand, He's always there, and there's never a time where out of the shadow of God's hand. The psalmist reminds us in Psalm 124 verse 4 that God never slumbers and God never sleeps. He never gets weary or tired. He never takes a break nor goes on vacation. Oh, but listen, friend, understand, child of God, you are continually in the shadow of God's hand. So whatever it is you might be dealing with tonight, whatever darkness that may be entered your life, whatever dreary that might be hovering or hanging over you, there is a direct presence of the good God of the universe right there with you. He says we're in this shadow. There is a divine presence. Something else in verse number 2 of chapter 49, I want you to notice with me. Notice it, verse number 2 of chapter 49. Says, "In the shadow of His hand hath He hid me and made me a polished shaft." Watch this. "In His quiver." In His quiver hath He hid me. In His quiver. Now, we know that that quiver is the thing that that warrior, that soldier carries his arrows in. He puts them there in his quiver, straps them on his back, carries them around with him. The Bible says, "In His quiver." Now, we know that that quiver was the carrying case for that tool, that weapon, that thing that was much needed for that soldier. In order for him to, it was very important, in order for him to be able to get the work done he needed to do, he needed to have that quiver, and he needed to have those arrows in that quiver. They needed to be just right. If he was going to get done the things he needed to get done, if he was going to be able to provide for his family by killing the game and taking it home or whatever it was, oh listen, it was kind of his tool chest that he put his tools there in the quiver. And the Bible says, watch this, don't miss this, that that's where He's hid you and that's where He's hid me. Right now in your struggle, it might seem like you are a million miles away from God, and it may seem like God is a million miles away from you. Maybe tonight, oh, some of the difficult shadows of life maybe have hit your home or hit your family or rocked your world, and because of it, maybe you think that God is not there. Can I tell you, I understand that laying there in bed sick all day, day after day, is a lonely place to be. And as you lay there alone, it seems like no one knows and it seems like no one cares. When you're going through a financial struggle many times, it seems like nobody knows and it seems like nobody cares. Oh, when your heart is breaking over a friend or a loved one, some acquaintance has walked away and a relationship is strained or broken, and maybe tonight you just feel all alone and maybe like you're just washed up as a Christian and can't do anything else for God. Maybe you haven't been able to come to church for several weeks, and all the storms of life, all the shadows of this life and the difficulties of this life have gotten you down, and might seem to you like maybe God's forgotten you and maybe you're all alone. It might seem like He's just kind of set you down on the side and went on to somebody else. But oh, let me remind you tonight, child of God, you're still in His quiver, the Bible says. God still has plans for your life. He's not forgotten you. He's not forsaken you, but He's right there with you. You're hidden under the shadow of His mighty hand. Oh, listen, you're not the first person that's felt like God's forsaken. In fact, the children of Israel thought that way way also. I want you to notice with me a few verses later, the Lord expounds upon this wonderful truth of you and I being hidden in the shadow of His hand. Look at verse number 14 of chapter number 49. The Bible says, but Zion said, that's Israel, that's the Jewish people. But Zion said, the Lord, that's the people of God, said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget. Watch verse 16. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before you. In other words, God says, hey, I can't forget. You've been engraven on the palms of my hand. I can't get away from you. I can never leave you. You're with me all the times. You've been graven there on the palms of my hand. And friend, you and I live in this direct presence of Almighty God under the shadow of His hands. The Bible says that we're hid in His quiver. By the way, never. Oh man, the Lord just keeps showing me stuff with this. Never forget how close that quiver is carried to that soldier. We're hid. You get that? In verse number 2, look at it again, at chapter 49. Says, and He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword in the shadow of His hand. Watch this. Hath He hid me and made me a polished shaft. In His quiver hath He hid me. You're hid in the quiver. Never forget how close that quiver is carried to His body. It's always within the reach of His hand. He can just reach back there and grab that anytime. Anytime He needs a tool. Anytime He needs an arrow. Anytime He needs something to do the work that He needs to do, He can just reach and grab it anytime. Can I tell you something tonight, child of God? At any time, and just any day, He might reach down and pull you out of the bag and get you off the sidelines and perform something wonderful with you and through you for His good glory. Under the shadow of God's hand, there's a direct presence. Notice the second thing. Under the shadow of God's hands, there's a direct protection. Back in verse number 2, it says, and He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. Watch this. In the shadow of His hand hath He hid me. Hath He hid me. There's a divine protection. Though the shadow of sickness might be hovering over you, God's shadow's bigger. You with me tonight? We sing the song, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. Can I tell you, oh listen, the shadows of sickness might be hovering over you, but God's shadow is bigger. Said He's hid us. In the shadow of His hand hath He hid me. Though the shadow of distress and discouragement and even depression might be gathering over you, God's shadow's bigger. Though the shadow of financial difficulty and worries of the future might be mounting up on you, God's shadow's still bigger. Though the shadows of pain and loss might be bombarding you, God's shadow's bigger. Never ever forget there is a God that's with you and for you and more than able to take care of you in your time of need. There is a divine protection under the shadow of His hand. Keep trusting Him. Psalm 118, verse 6 through 9, it says, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. Hallelujah, that should be good enough. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear what man can do to me. He goes on, the Lord taketh my part with them that help me. In other words, He's on my side as my helper. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. Then He said this, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Hey, friend, listen, when you're in the shadow of God's hand, there's not a person, nor a politician, nor a president that can make you any more secure than you already are. Don't you put your confidence in man. Don't you put your confidence in some president. Don't you put your confidence in the devices of this world, but put all of your trust and all of your hope and all of your confidence in a God who's always held you, always protected you, and always hid you under the shadow of His mighty hand. Psalm 125, verse 1 and 2 says, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever." Listen to this. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, would you imagine those mountains a minute, those hills that just go all the way around Jerusalem. And it says, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people henceforth, even forever. He has you surrounded, friend. Just like those mountains surround the city of Jerusalem. Oh, so the Lord is about His people from henceforth, even forever. Do you understand tonight? Listen, God has you surrounded. He has you completely covered with the power and protection of His loving, nail-scarred hand. Psalm 57, verse 1 says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in Thee. Yea, in the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." In the shadow of Thy wings. Isaiah 4, 6 says, "And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain." We sing the song, "God is my refuge, a strong and mighty tower that I can run to. God is my refuge. Without Him, what would I do?" Oh, listen, friend. The Bible says that we're hid, we're protected under the shadow of the hand of Almighty God. There's a direct presence. There's a divine protection. Notice another thing about the shadow of God's hand. Don't miss this. There's a distinct purpose. You know, you and I do things constantly that really, there's no rhyme or reason. Doesn't make a lot of sense sometimes. Maybe why in the world, you know. But I want to tell you this, that when you're, hallelujah, when you're in the shadow of the hand of God, and when the good hand of God is with you and leading you and guiding you, understand there is a distinct purpose that He has under His hand. Notice it in verse number 2 again. 49, verse 2, Isaiah. "And He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword, in the shadow of His hand hath He hidden me." Watch this. "And made me a polished shaft." Now don't miss this. "Made me a polished shaft." Now that polished shaft represents a choice arrow. Some of you maybe have seen shows. Maybe some of you hate somebody so much that you have a bullet and you've got their name on it. You've honed that thing out, man. It's hollow point. That's what story says. Says He's made you a polished shaft. I mean, a choice weapon. It says, "And made me a polished shaft, one that's been honed, one that's been refined. It's been crafted to expert precision against the enemy. It's been polished at the point. It's been well oiled. Therefore, it can pierce the target even deeper." No doubt somebody listening tonight is wondering, "Lord, why in the world am I going through all this? Why all this pain? Why all the problems? Why all the difficulty? Why is there this huge cloud of darkness following me around all the time?" I want to say, in the shadow of God's hand, there's always purpose. It's not in vain. Your trial's not in vain. The storm's not in vain. Those troubles are not in vain. Even the tragedy, oh listen, it's not in vain. For we know, not we hope, not we think, but we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, them that are called according to His purpose. Oh listen, when you abide under the shadow of God's hand, He's always at work sharpening us and polishing us and making us more fit for the Master's use. God's trying to make a greater, more productive, and more effective tool to use in His battle. We sing the little song, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be." Took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, sun and the earth, Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. Can I tell you that there is a purpose in your pain? There is a purpose in the problem. There is a distinct purpose under the shadow of God's mighty hand. He knows what He's doing. Oh, He's a sovereign God. Philippians 2:13, the Bible says, "For it's God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure." God's working in you. He's doing something. He wants to do something with your life. The Bible says we're His workmen, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We should walk therein. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Jeremiah 29:11, He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Let me tell you something tonight, friend. Whatever's taking place in your life, understand it's just God adding another coat of polish on you. It's just God honing in and making it more precise, the weapon. You say, "Why are things so hard?" I want to give you several things. A couple things quickly about this distinct purpose. When you're under the shadow of God's hand, sometimes that shadow is there to strengthen your faith. You with me? We talked about the shadow of life and the shadow of death and the shadow of life's problems. The Bible teaches us about all those. And just honestly with you tonight, sometimes the shadow is there because ultimately we're still under the shadow of God's hand. There's purpose in it. Sometimes that shadow is there to strengthen our faith. Go quickly with me to 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. Look with me, starting at verse number 6. You know the story, I hope. Hezekiah has had a death sentence pronounced upon him. He's going to die. God's came to him and He said, "Hezekiah, set your house in order." Hezekiah begins to plead and beg God for more time. And God agrees and gives him 15 more years. But he's not certain that the Lord's really done that. He's not certain the Lord will really deliver him. Notice with me, starting in verse number 6 of 2 Kings chapter 20. "And I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake, for my servant David's sake." And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. They took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, watch this, watch the doubt. "What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me?" Somebody's asking that tonight. "What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day?" What's going to be the sign I can make it back to the house of God? And Isaiah said, "This sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that He hath spoken." Watch this. "Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or back 10 degrees?" Which one you want? And he's talking about the shadow of the sun, the shadow of the moon. In other words, move time. God moved time. Matter of fact, the scientists, when they're backing into all the stuff, trying to get the dating of the earth and trying to figure out the days and all that, they've already discovered that it's this exact distance off. But then let's move back. Watch this. "What shall be the sign that the Lord will do the thing He has spoken? Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go backwards 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, "It is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. I mean, it's going to go down. It's going to get darker, right, at night? Nay, but let the shadow return backwards 10 degrees. Went back to the future. Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord. He brought the shadow 10 degrees backward by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. Sometimes the polishing that we need is a good dose of faith. And God has to put us under that shadow. God has to bring us to that place and that position where He can prove Himself to us just one more time. Although He's done it over and over and over and over again, sometimes God has to get us to a place where He can show us He's still God. Here sits Hezekiah on his deathbed. He's about to die. God had to reassure him, "I'm going to add years to your life." What is it about your faith tonight that needs strengthened? Is there an area that God needs to prove Himself to you? Well, maybe this difficulty is God polishing you as He has you hid away in His quiver, under the shadow of His hands. Sometimes the shadow is there to strengthen our faith. Notice the second thing. Sometimes the shadow is there to show us God's love and compassion. I want you to go with me to Jonah chapter 4. Jonah chapter 4. Oh, what a blessing it is to be under the shadow of the mighty hand of God. If you go with me to Jonah chapter 4, I hope you know the story. Jonah has been called to go and preach to the people of Nineveh. The truth of the matter is, Jonah didn't love these people. Jonah hated these people. One of the big reasons he rebelled and refused to go was because, understand, these had been Ninevites, some of the most wicked people that's ever in the history of the world. They were mean and wicked and ruthless, and for years had God's people under bondage. For years had persecuted the people of God. And you think about the worst enemy of Christians, if you want to put it that way, and say, I got to go preach to those people. He hated them. You know the story. He refuses and goes the other way. God gets his attention. He's swallowed by a whale. He's spit out, and the word of the Lord comes to Jonah the second time. The Bible says he reluctantly finally goes. Sure enough, when he preaches to these people, the Bible says that they repented. They repented and turned to God. God had mercy on them. And Jonah cries out. Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 4, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of evil. Listen to how discouraged he is. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. Do you understand that this is a man that sits at the brink of death because of depression? He says, take away my life from me. It's better to die than to live. Notice verse number 4. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Watch verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it. Watch this. How? In a shadow. In a shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. He sat in a shadow, but watch this. Hallelujah, I'm glad there's a greater shadow. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come upon over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. The Bible says to deliver him from his grief. Sometimes that shadow is God showing his love and compassion to you and I who's discouraged. Sometimes that shadow is God taking us to a point and a place all by ourselves where he can minister to us, where he can do business with us, where he can be a help to us. You'll remember what he told Elijah. He said, go to the cave. He's there in that cave. He said, what dost thou hear, Elijah? The Bible says it was that still small voice. It wasn't in the wind. The Lord wasn't in the rain. But it was that still small voice of him encouraging Elijah. Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 3. Listen to what the Bible says. As the apple tree among the trees of wood, as the apple tree among the trees of wood is among the trees of wood, so is my beloved among the sons. Then watch this. He says, I sat down under his shadow with great delight. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Friend, can I tell you something? If we'd ever get to a place in our life, where, hallelujah, where we'd just sit down under the shadow of his presence, we'd just sit down under the shadow of his hand, there'd be a great delight in our life. God would do something for us that we could never do ourselves. There's some lessons sometimes he wants us to learn. Listen, there's purpose. There is a specific purpose. In Isaiah 51:16, we read it earlier, God says, I've covered thee in the shadow of my hand. Think about that. I've covered thee in the shadow of mine hand. And let that be a reminder that all of us find ourselves there sometimes. We all find ourselves at this place of darkness. We all find ourselves at this place of dreariness. All of us find ourselves from time to time at the place of despair where it just seems like a shadow has been cast up over us and life has blotted. It seems like that the struggles of life have blotted out the sunshine, whether it be the shadow of sickness or health, whether it be the shadow of poverty or lack of wealth, whether it be the shadow of gloom or loss of a loved one, whether it be the shadow of a failed relationship or an ended friendship. All of us deal with these shadows of life from time to time. It's really, I'm telling you something, all of 2020 has been really just this one big cloud. Seems like it's been this one big shadow almost over the entire world. And many people are experiencing it right now like never before. I'm going to tell you, there are things hitting families. There's things hitting home. There's things I'm talking about. There is fear dwelled up in people's hearts and their minds like I've never, ever experienced it before. But friend, never forget, above the shadows of sickness and above the shadow of sorrow and above the shadow of suffering, above that shadow of pain and poverty, above the shadow of distress and despair and discouragement and depression and even death, hallelujah, there's an even greater shadow. It's the shadow of God, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, almighty, thrice holy God. It's the shadow of his hand above all of it. It's covering you. It's hiding you. And even now, it's protecting you. And you and I are safe and secure, abiding in the shadow of God's mighty hand. And because of this, the sweet psalmist penned the words of Psalm 63:7. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings, watch this, will I rejoice. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Can I tell you tonight, friend, we talked about it a little bit Sunday, we might not can rejoice in our circumstance, but we can rejoice if we're in the shadow of his wings. Every single one of us tonight, we ought to thank God and rejoice even in the sickness, even in the sorrow, even in all the sadness, because above the shadow of whatever this world throws at us, there's a much greater shadow that hides us and abides with us, that loves us and protects us. There's another shadow that leads and guides us and directs us. There's a shadow that's working hard to nurture us and develops us. And above all the other shadows of life, this divine shadow has full power and full control over any of the evil forces or any of the evil devices of the god of this world. Oh, yes. And I just want you to know tonight that if things look dark in your life, if there's a huge cloud that seems to be hovering over your life, it's all right. It's okay, and everything's going to be just fine, because that covering and that cloud, though it may seem bad and it may seem dark, Christian, never forget that the Bible says that that shadow is a shadow of God's hand. I'll never forget years ago. Clarence Sexton preached a message on who cast Jonah into the sea. And you already know the story if you know the story. Because at one place it talks about the mariners throwing him over. But a little later it says that God threw him over. And I'm telling you tonight that whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through, it first had to pass through the hands of an omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent everywhere at the same time, immutable, eternal, everlasting God. And nothing has happened or is happening in your life that he doesn't have covered. with the shadow of His hand. Somebody said the photograph of God's face can only be developed in a dark room. Think about that. Think about where they used to do pictures. And even still now, there had to be a dark room, right? We want to get close to the Lord. We want to see Him face to face. We say we do. That's our desire. We want to know Him. And the photograph of God's face can only be developed in a dark room. We always want sunshine, don't we? But I'm going to tell you something. It's those dark times where you'll get to know Him like you never knew Him before. That's why I believe Paul said, made this statement. He said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And then he said this, and the fellowship of His sufferings. Because, friend, there is an intimacy. Oh, listen, and there is a knowledge, and there is a closeness, and there is a level of recognition of getting to know who He is when you have that hard times, when you have that difficult things, when you, the fellowship of His sufferings. You'll find Him in the still moments of the darkness of your life. Listen to me tonight. There is a benefit in the shadows of life that can never be found in the brightness of the sun. Martin Luther said this. He said, I've held many things in my hands and I've lost them all. That whatever I've placed in God's hands, that I still possess. I want you to think about, for just a moment, we're done. The sun, the way it withers and dries up, the old leaves on the trees, and they crickle and they break and they fall. But in the noontime of day, in the sunlight of day, it's scorching light. But once that sun is hid behind the clouds, the shadows come out, those leaves begin to unfold. You know anything about nature? Those leaves begin to unfold a little bit, begin to reveal some things. The shadow can never reveal things. The shadow can reveal things that the sun can never reveal. You understand that? The dark times can reveal things that the sunlight can never reveal. Those, think about those beautiful stars in the sky. They can't be seen until the sun goes down. The cloud of darkness sets in. It's the most beautiful things in the world will never be seen except the sun goes down. Now, I believe sometimes the shadow has to set in. So we will once again get a right perspective of our life. And we'll remember what really matters. And we will see how blessed we really are. We never see any of that in the sunny times of life. We only see the shadows. We only see it in the shadows. It is an encouragement to me. It encourages my heart. That whatever may sit down on my life, whatever the shadows of life may bring, and even up to the shadow of death, that my Bible tells me that I am hid under the shadow of God's hand. Amen? Father, in Jesus' name, we need You. We thank You for Your comfort, the comfort of Your Word. Lord, for Thy presence, for Thy protection. Lord, for Your purpose for our life, and that, Lord, You desire to polish us and use us, and You're saving us for just the right time. Oh, we're still there in Your quiver. God, You're working on us that we might become a masterpiece that could be more of use in the Master's business. Thank You. We pray, God, You'd bless the remainder of our time. In Christ's name, amen. All right, quickly, let's take some prayer requests. Does anybody have any special spoken requests tonight? Trust you do. Be praying for everybody.